This is All Hail the Boy King, a supernatural fanfiction written by Standing Fic and read by Rena Jenkins. The story is rated PG-13 for some minor language, but mostly this is serious Big Brother worship on Sam's part. This is a Jen story featuring Sam and Dean and some time post the beginning of the apocalypse. When it's the summertime, and the Impala's windows are rolled down, and Dean is driving and the wind is whipping at the hair on Sam's face, and there are hours of road ahead of them, and Sam has thought of every other thing there is to think of, Sam will look at Dean and start to form a mindless bit of conversation, and then he will stop. He will look at Dean, framed by the driver's window in the countryside beyond, and he will see the years of Dean he has known. The sadness and loss and heaviness of the road will drop away, and he will see the Dean that taught him how to ride a bicycle, the one who begged Sam not to tell Dad he brought girls back to the motels to skinny dip. And their lives are so full of the present, the dead, the danger, the constant moving, the pressing matter of staying alive, that moments of the past often hit Sam like a brick. Even harder when they are good memories. The ones that make Sam smile nearly bring tears to his eyes. They're so few and far between. They make him feel like, we had a really great childhood. And for 1 second, there is no snort of disbelief to follow. Even when they were kids, they were different. They were young and free, on the breeze, traveling the world, shooting guns. They were secret heroes. Treated like men. They stayed up late, and they ate ice cream for dinner, even when their father was with them. They explored new towns, scoped cemeteries and arcades, while their father holed himself up in the local library. They swam in motel pools from dawn till dusk, their skin turning a handsome brown and wrinkling with moisture. They sucked in the sun from every crack and cranny of America. Dean doesn't think Sam has any good memories from when they were kids. And for Sam, sometimes it's easier to pretend he doesn't. But the truth is that they were stars hitched to a wild wagon. And then the Impala takes a turn for the west, and the sun hits Sam's face. And he remembers a day so vivid, it still brings the tang of chlorine to the back of his throat. When they were still kids, when Dean was still shooting tin cans off fence posts, and Sam didn't know yet that their dad was a hero, they used to spend their afternoons by the pool. The motels that chained his young life together were small, one broken L-shaped level, with landscaping that was overgrown and unkempt. Sam remembers the feeling of long weeds creeping into the parking lot, licking lewdly at his skinny ankles. But their father wouldn't tolerate a shady place for his boys. If he lifted his head and smelled a bad deed, they'd about face right back to the car. As they followed this standard, the days alone waiting for their dad were spent just a step above Miscreant. Turns out, the step above comes with pools. They ate breakfast in the morning, and Sam, young as he was, felt the tension. Sam looked to Dean over their peanut butter sandwiches, and Dean had that quiet, steady gaze that told Sam Dad was leaving. And their father paced up and down the room, packing and repacking, double-checking, making sure he had everything. He pulled his jacket on, and the boys bristled to attention. Dean stepped in front of Sam, as if blocking him from the inevitable disappointment of Dad leaving again. I want you boys inside. An hour before dark, Dad, I know. And make sure Sammy eats, shits, pisses, sleeps. Boy, you watch that mouth of yours. If I hear any of that out of Sam... Sorry, Dad. Sammy, you keep an eye on Dean, all right? And when he says bed... Yes, sir. I'll be back in the morning. Yes, sir. In unison. The father fixed them with that stare then, the one that had no faith in their ability to feed themselves and stay out of trouble. He gazed between his son's angel faces, and then narrowed his eyes in his best, "You better." Then he left quickly, as if he were afraid of changing his mind. They watched the door close, ran to the window, and peeped through a set of heavy, musty curtains. Their father tossed his duffel into the passenger seat, gunned that engine like a hungry monster, and swooped out onto the highway like he was driving a span of black wings. They watched until the car was out of sight, and then Sam felt that sink of his stomach that even today he translates to gone. He asked Dean, "Where's he going?" And Dean always said, "I don't know." But Sam always knew that Dean was lying, and wished he could be trusted with secrets like Dean could. And then Sam thought of exactly how he wanted to spend the time until Dad came back, and turned big, hopeful eyes to Dean, because when Dad wasn't there to give orders, they had to come from Dean. And when Dean turned to Sam, he looked just as excited, eyes dancing, smile wide. "Go get your trunks on, Sammy." Dean made sure Sam was nothing less than an expert swimmer. He taught Sam early on how to dog paddle and tread water, the stuff that would save Sam's life. Sam remembers being in shallow water with both Dean and their father stooped over him, lifeguarding, while he gleefully whacked at the water with all of his childish might. Dean taught him how to float on his back, sucking his belly button into his spine, sunshine on his face, when you're too tired to swim anymore, or you have a cramp. And Sam mimicked his brother, spread his arms and legs out wide, sucked his stomach in and breathed, watched the sky and the birds and the bugs that flitted close to his face. His ears dipped in and out of the water, catching only pieces of what Dean was murmuring next to him. And Sam was content with floating away the afternoon. Then he taught Sam the breaststroke and the overhand, and to kick hard, always using his legs when he swam. "Don't get lazy, Sammy." And Dean swam with him to the side of a deserted lake or a pond, and he stayed close in case Sam got tired. But Sam never got tired. Dean dragged himself out of the water, collapsed on the bank in the shade, and said, "Geez, Sam, don't you ever get tired?" And Sam swelled with pride. He taught Sam how to get to the bottom fast, how to get his body real straight and narrow and plunge down feet first. Sam liked the dizzying and slightly terrifying feeling of slicing through the water like a blade until his feet hit the bottom of the pool. Dean also showed him how to come back up fast, almost the same way, using every bit of strength in his legs and then breaching the surface like a whale on its last breath in one big, loud gulp of air. Dean once told Sam, "If you're ever underwater and can't figure out which way is up, just blow bubbles. The air will always rise to the surface, so follow it." And this fascinated Sam. So he spent time alone underwater, testing the theory, and Dean was right. And after all the lessons, Sam still begged. "Teach me how to do that, Dean. Teach me dives. Teach me flips." So Dean showed Sam how to curl his toes over the edge of the pool, how to keep his legs together, and how to use his hands to break the surface of the water. "Head down, Sammy. And then you gotta, like, wriggle, you know, get ready." So Sam wriggled and smiled, packing all his strength into a ball in his belly, readying his muscles. And Dean counted off. 1, 2, 3. And they shot out into the air, bodies curving, and hit the water at the same time. They came up at the other end of the pool, and Dean said, "That was perfect, Sam." And Sam felt like the only person alive for miles. And Sam was a natural with somersaults, too, tucking his body with his head down, knees to his chest, a tight, fast swirl of energy in the air that ended in a fat splash. Sam used this as evidence for begging to learn the next greatest thing, but Dean flat out refused to teach him backflips. Dean made it look easy, long body against the sun, legs scissoring in an arc, arms ready to break the surface tension before his head hit. Dean looked like a boy king in the air like that, and Sam was desperate to feel how that felt. He begged, wheedled, whined, promised Dean that he would be great at it. "I know you would, but not today, all right? Let's race." So when Sam climbed up on the diving board one afternoon in Warwick, Rhode Island, grinned at Dean, and then quickly turned his back, he fully expected the bellowing of his name and the way Dean kicked back his lounge chair as he leapt up. It made Sam laugh, but he also got nervous, didn't want to lose his chance to show Dean that he could do it. He could do a backflip like his big brother. But in his haste, Sam struggled to throw his body in line, launching himself quickly into form, but nothing came out right. He was upside down. He wasn't far enough out, and he felt his head crack against his board on the way down. He heard Dean again, "Sammy!" and then hit the water with a flop. He was still conscious, but dizzy and confused, and feeling himself sink right to the bottom. He gasped reflexively, and his lungs immediately filled with water, and then everything went blurry in the face of his panic. Dean had taught him so much, but Sam couldn't figure out what to do. His limbs were heavy. He couldn't get it together, so he just closed his eyes against the burn of the chlorine. Sam was on the cusp of the thought, "I'm drowning," when he felt the jerk of an arm across his chest. He was pulled flush against a body and thought with mindless relief, "Dean." Dean set his feet on the blue diamond pattern of the pool's floor, bunched his thighs, and pushed up. They rocketed to the surface and into the summer breeze, and Sam still couldn't take a breath as Dean dragged him up over the side of the pool to the concrete. Then Sam felt Dean hitting him, pounding his back, and the water came out in a garbled, thick mass onto the pool deck. Sam gasped, and air never tasted so good. And after a moment, the fuzz in his mind recentering him on the present, he looked at Dean, and Dean was wild-eyed and shaking. He said in a hard, level voice that reminded Sam of Dad, "You idiot. You idiot, Sam. I could kill you." And Sam hung his head, felt embarrassed and ashamed of himself, and promised to never do it again. Dean shoved a towel at him and didn't talk to him for the rest of the night. Sam had never felt worse, felt sick with the anger radiating off Dean and how it didn't seem to fade with the hours that passed. By the time Dean said, clipped, "Get ready for bed," Sam had tears in his eyes. He went to stand by the bed Dean was lying in and hovered at the edge, silent. Dean wouldn't look at him, gaze firmly fixated on the game show, and Sam started to cry. "I'm sorry, Dean." Dean finally turned, rolled his eyes at Sam's wet face and dripping nose, but Sam could see guilt in the downturn of Dean's mouth. His resolve broke completely, and he held out his arms and Sam scrambled into them like Dean might take them back. "I was scared, you dummy," Dean said into Sam's hair. "What if something had happened? We're not telling Dad about this. Holy shit, Sam, seriously, don't you ever." And for a minute, Sam felt like Dean was just their father's son too, and he said into Dean's shoulder, "I won't. I won't." Sam blinks into the wind, feeling the echoes of that day like a breeze through the cemetery. He stares at Dean again, singing along to Night Moves, and looking for all the world like he is navigating on just the position of the sun alone. The thing is, after all this time, Sam would still believe it. He says to Dean over the wind and the radio, "Remember that time we were swimming? With the diving board?" And Dean's eyes snap to him, and Sam doesn't say anything else. Then Dean looks back out onto the road, checks all three of his mirrors, gazes at the mountains on the horizon in front of him. His face is neutral, but Sam didn't miss that spark of the memory that glowed in Dean's eyes. Sam feels strong affection for the fact that the afternoon he's been thinking of holds just as much weight for his brother.
"Scariest day of my life, man,"
Dean finally says, and glances briefly at Sam. His eyes betray only a measure of what he's feeling, but it's enough. Dean was scared that day. And when you're young and you're that scared, it stays with you. Sam has an arsenal of experiences to prove it.
"I think that was the day I really realized what I was doing," Dean continues, talking to the windshield. "Dad was always saying, 'Watch out for Sammy.' And I was saying, 'Yeah, Dad, I know.' Like, that wasn't what I'd been doing since we hit the road, you know? I always felt responsible for you. That day, man, I felt something else. I realized something could happen to you. Not just bumps in the night, but honest to God, life. And what if something happened and I didn't know what to do? I really felt it, and I was scared."
Sam nods, looks out his window. He goes soft, feels like he's 7 all over again, wants to beg Dean's forgiveness. I won't. "I was always careful after that," Sam says, chancing a look at Dean, and finds Dean watching him. "I know I was real young, but I remember being scared of how scared you were. I didn't ever want you to worry like that again." Dean laughs, and it's choked.
"Bang up job there, Sammy."
And Sam laughs too, shakes his head like, "Yeah, really? Sorry about being the chosen leader of Hell's army. Sorry about that time I died." But Sam just says, "Well, I'm still sorry about that."
"Don't even think on it,"
Dean says, mustering up enough emotion to make Sam feel like he's forgiven. And Sam is struck by the way that he still needs Dean to forgive him for something that happened 15 years ago. "I'm still afraid to do a backflip," Sam admits.
"Damn right you are. You'll never outshine the backflip king."
Sam laughs, and Dean gives him that sideways smirk, all jokes. But Sam can tell he really means it, and Sam believes him. The end.